Okay, let's unpack this right away. Imagine you're a software engineer
Right.
and you sit down with just two other colleagues, and over the course of about 5 months, you ship a product that writes code, but not just a little script here or there.
No, something massive.
Exactly. It generates over 1 million lines of code autonomously without a single line written by a human hand.
Which is just staggering when you really think about it.
It is. And that is exactly what three engineers at OpenAI did when they shipped Codex. On paper, I mean, it looks like this massive triumph of artificial intelligence, right?
Pretty fingerly.
A testament to how incredibly smart the underlying model is.
It definitely looks that way, yeah.
But there's a twist here, and it's a twist that completely shifts how we need to look at deploying AI. Because the breakthrough behind Codex, it actually wasn't the AI model itself.
This is the part that fascinates me.
Right. If you took that underlying model out and just swapped it for a competitor's model, the output quality only shifted by maybe 10 to 15%.
Yeah, a tiny margin.
But if you changed the system surrounding the model, the whole thing just broke down. The secret sauce was something called harness engineering.
Which completely, flips the script on how we are traditionally taught to think about AI right now.
Absolutely.
Because we spend so much time obsessing over the models themselves, which one have the most parameters, which one scores highest on the bar exam or whatever standardized test is trending this week.
Right, the horsepower.
Exactly. But the reality of deploying AI in your actual business or your daily workflow is vastly different. The engineering breakdowns we're looking at today make this really bold, mathematically backed claim.
And it's a big one.
It is. The claim is that the model is not the most important part of the equation. The harness is the 80% factor.
The 80% factor. And that is exactly our mission for today's deep dive. We are going to unpack why this harness is that 80% factor in making an AI agent reliable. We'll look at why naked models are actually not the silver bullet we think they are.
Definitely not.
And most importantly, what this means for you. Because if you are building AI tools or even just relying on them for your day-to-day work, understanding harness engineering is completely essential. But let's start with a clear definition here. What are we actually talking about when we use the word harness?
So the term actually originates from horse tack. And it's a really brilliant mental model. Think about a physical harness on a horse. You have
Right.
this incredibly powerful animal with just massive amounts of raw energy.
Right.
But without a harness, that horse might just run wild or go in the completely wrong direction or get spooked and just refuse to move at all. The harness is what directs that immense power toward actual useful work.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, Anthropic popularized this analogy recently, and it fits perfectly. In the AI world, a harness is the infrastructure layer that wraps around the model. It's not the model itself.
And it's not just the prompt you type into the chat box
Yeah,
either, right?
exactly. It is the orchestration, the verification, the operational infrastructure that constrains and informs and corrects the AI agent when it's operating in the real messy world.
So the model is the horsepower, but the harness is the steering wheel, the transmission, and the brakes.
That's a great way to put it.
So what happens when people try to just plug an AI model directly into their workflow without that steering wheel, without that infrastructure?
Well, it gets ugly pretty fast.
It really does. The reality check in our sources is pretty jarring. We have to look at the Apex Agents benchmark. When researchers tested the absolute best, most advanced frontier models on professional-grade software engineering tasks,
The absolute state-of-the-art models.
right, the ones everyone hypes up, the pass rate on the very first attempt was 24%.
Just 24%.
Only 24%. And when you see a number that low, I mean, the immediate assumption is that the models are just overhyped, that they are fundamentally incapable of doing the work.
Which is the natural conclusion to draw.
Yeah.
But the diagnosis here is much more nuanced. The models are highly capable. The infrastructure around them is failing.
Okay.
When an AI agent fails in a real-world production environment, it's rarely a failure of the model's baseline intelligence. It's almost always a harness failure.
Give me an example of what that looks like in practice.
Sure. Let's look at a really common scenario. Say your AI agent needs to call an external tool or a software API to pull some data. Even in well-engineered systems, tool calling fails 3 to 15% of the time in production.
3 to 15% is a lot when you're doing thousands of operations.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And why does it fail? Because the external API might return a 500 error, which is basically just a server crash on the other end.
Right.
Or the response might arrive with missing fields. Or a timeout might happen simply because the network is just running slow that day.
The real world is messy. Networks break constantly. But if the model is so supposedly intelligent, shouldn't it be able to recognize a simple server crash and just adjust?
You would think so. But without a harness to catch those failures, a naked AI model lacks the operational logic to handle the exception gracefully.
So what does it do?
It often just blindly proceeds with corrupted or incomplete data. It assumes everything is fine because it was prompted to complete a task, and it confidently gives you a broken output.
So it's basically hallucinating based on bad inputs.
Exactly. A development team might deploy an agent that worked flawlessly in a sterile testing environment, push it to production, and suddenly watch it fail on 1 out of every 5 tasks.
And their first instinct is probably wrong.
Oh, almost always. The very first instinct is, we need to rewrite the prompt, or we need to upgrade to a more expensive model. But no amount of prompting or model intelligence is going to fix a random network timeout.
Which leads directly into a cautionary tale from the data that honestly sounds like a nightmare for anyone managing a tech budget.
The document processing one.
Yes. Let's say you have a document processing AI agent. It's been running reliably for 3 weeks, parsing files for your business. But one night, an upstream data source starts returning malformed responses.
A classic API failure.
Exactly. And because there is no harness controlling this agent, it doesn't know how to start. It just gets stuck in a retry loop.
It just keeps hammering the server.
It tries to refetch that exact same broken data 340 times over the course of 6 hours.
Wow.
And because every single retry consumes a full context window of tokens.
Which is essentially the AI's short-term memory limit.
Right. And you pay for every single piece of information loaded into that memory. Your normal predictable API bill of $180 a day balloons to $2,400 overnight.
Overnight. It forces you to look at your own systems and ask a really critical question. If you are relying on AI for your business workflows, can you actually trust a naked model?
And the data says no.
A definitive no. Without a harness, you're exposing yourself to massive operational and financial risks. The agent will either confidently proceed with bad data and ruin your product, or it'll get confused by an error and literally burn through your wallet while you're asleep.
So the operational infrastructure matters significantly more than the baseline intelligence of whatever model you pick. Without a doubt.
Okay, so we've clearly established the problem. Naked AI models are brilliant, but reckless horses without a harness. So let's break down the solution.
Let's do it.
The engineering blueprints from the research lay out 5 core components that every single production-grade harness needs. Let's walk through these, because this is the architecture that prevents that $2,400 overnight bill.
Okay.
Component number 1 is context engineering.
Context engineering is fundamentally managing what the agent knows at each step of the process.
Okay.
This goes far beyond just your initial instruction prompt. It includes dynamically pulling information from databases, searching APIs, looking at conversation history, or scanning domain-specific knowledge bases. So it's gathering all the relevant pieces.
Yes. But the ultimate challenge here is precision. If you give the agent too little context, it literally lacks the information to complete the task. But if you give it too much context, the agent drowns in irrelevant data.
It gets distracted.
Exactly. Its attention gets diluted.
Yeah.
And it starts to hallucinate or pull the wrong variables.
To bring back our analogy, context engineering is like putting blinders on the horse. You only want it to see the track directly in front of it, rather than getting distracted by the crowd.
That's a perfect way to visualize it.
The Vercel example illustrates this perfectly. Vercel had an AI agent, and they actually decided to reduce the number of tools available to it. They took it from having 15 different tools down to just 2.
Which feels counterintuitive, right?
Totally. You'd initially assume that restricting the AI makes it less powerful. But by constraining the context, tightening those blinders, the accuracy of the agent jumped from 80% to a flawless 100%.
Ah, that is incredible.
And it gets better. The token consumption dropped by 37%, and the speed improved 3.5 times. More information is not always better.
It's a textbook illustration of why precision matters more than volume. You are actively managing the model's attention span. Which brings us right to component number 2.
Tool orchestration.
Exactly. If context engineering is what the agent knows, tool orchestration is what the agent can do. Think of this as the bit and the reins on the horse.
Okay, I like that.
This defines the external systems the agent is allowed to interact with, how it interacts with them, and crucially, what happens when those interactions fail.
Like the 500 errors we talked about earlier.
Precisely. It includes validating the inputs the agent sends out, parsing the outputs it receives back, handling errors, and managing those network timeouts. And again, just like with Vercel, the rule of thumb here is that fewer, rigidly designed tools will consistently outperform a massive library of loosely defined ones.
Quality over quantity. All right, component number three is verification loops. And the research highlights this as the single highest return on investment component of any agent harness.
The highest ROI, absolutely.
What exactly is a verification loop doing in this setup?
A verification loop is a checkpoint. It happens at each step of the process before the agent is allowed to proceed to the next step. It's the harness tapping the brakes.
Just making sure everything is okay before moving forward.
Right. At the simplest level, it might just be a quick code check to ensure that a tool returned data in the correct JSON format.
And JSON is just a standardized way of organizing text so machines can easily read it, for anyone wondering.
Exactly. If the formatting is broken, the loop catches it before the AI even tries to read it. At a more sophisticated level, a verification loop might actually use a second, separate AI model call to review the first model's work and evaluate if the logic actually makes sense.
The statistics on these loops are pretty wild. The research showed that implementing a basic verification loop might add 50 to 150 milliseconds of latency to a step.
Which is a microscopic delay. You wouldn't even notice it.
Right. But that tiny fraction of a second can boost your overall task completion rate from 83% up to 96%.
That is a massive jump for such a small check.
And you aren't upgrading the model. You aren't even tweaking the prompt. You are just forcing the system to catch its own formatting or logic mistakes before they compound, and the reliability skyrockets.
You're preventing a small error on step two from ruining step 10.
Exactly.
Now, component number four is cost envelope management. And this is the direct solution to that massive overnight bill scenario we talked about.
Yes, please explain how to avoid that.
A cost envelope is a hard budget ceiling set on a per task basis. Before the harness allows the agent to make its next LLM call, it checks the cumulative token spend for that specific task. If the next call would push it over the budget ceiling, the harness simply terminates the task.
It's an automatic kill switch for your wallet. But it sounds like it's doing more than just saving money. If an agent suddenly starts burning through tokens on a task that usually costs pennies, that envelope is actually acting as a tripwire, isn't it?
Yes.
It's telling you the AI is hallucinating or stuck.
That is the hidden value of the cost envelope. It's a vital reliability signal. If an agent hits its ceiling, it means it is behaving abnormally. It's lost, or it's stuck in one of those endless retry loops.
And it needs to be stopped.
Right. By terminating the task, you aren't just protecting your budget. You are preventing the system from generating a highly convoluted, completely wrong answer and passing it off as a fact.
The company Manus actually achieved a 10 times cost reduction through intelligent context management and enforcing these kinds of strict envelopes.
A 10 times reduction is massive for any enterprise operating at scale.
Huge. All right, the fifth and final core component of a harness is observability and evaluation.
This one is all about gaining visibility into what is usually a black box. Observability means having structured execution traces.
What does a trace look like?
Think of a trace as a highly detailed digital paper trail. It means your infrastructure captures exactly what the agent did, why it decided to do it, what data it looked at, and what the outcome was at every single micro step.
So you have a complete record.
Right. And then evaluation means having an automated testing pipeline that continuously measures how well the agent is performing overall against a set of known benchmarks.
Because without observability, debugging an AI failure is just guesswork. You're just staring at a bad output, shrugging your shoulders, and trying to rewrite the prompt again.
Which we know doesn't work.
And without an automated evaluation pipeline, the way you discover your AI agent is broken is through angry complaints from your users.
Yeah, that is the worst way to find out.
You always want to catch the failure in your own logs before your customer experiences it.
Precisely. You need a systemic way to monitor the heartbeat of your agents.
So to recap, we have the five components. Context engineering, tool orchestration, verification loops, cost envelopes, and observability. But this brings up a debate that constantly surfaces in the AI community.
I think I know where you're going with this.
People look at these components and argue, well, isn't this really just advanced prompt engineering? Can't someone just write a highly detailed prompt telling the AI to double check its work, manage its own budget, and only use specific tools?
It is a very common misconception. But the mathematical breakdown of reliability gains settles this definitively.
Let's hear the math.
They are related disciplines, sure, but they yield vastly different results. Prompt engineering, which is tweaking the instruction text you send to the model, gives you, at best, a 5 to 15% improvement in reliability.
Okay.
Context engineering, assembling the right information dynamically, gives you a 15 to 30% improvement.
Better.
But harness engineering, building this actual operational infrastructure wrapping the model, delivers a massive 50 to 80% improvement in reliability.
Wow. So for your own tech stack, this means you absolutely cannot prompt your way to 99.9% reliability.
You really can't.
You can spend weeks finding the perfect magic words for your system prompt, and you might get a 10% bump. But if you actually want a reliable system that handles edge cases and network failures, you have to build the infrastructure. Prompt engineering is just a tiny subset of context engineering, and context engineering is just a subset of harness engineering.
Which naturally leads to how this actually looks in practice. The engineering breakdowns outline three specific architecture patterns for building these harnesses, and visualizing them really helps tie all these components together.
Let's walk through those patterns.
Pattern one is the single agent with a verification loop. This is exactly what it sounds like. One AI agent doing the work, with one verification checkpoint managed by the harness between each action it takes.
Simple enough.
It is the simplest production-grade pattern. And remarkably, it handles about 80% of all production use cases.
It's the standard workhorse model.
Yes. But for more complex tasks, you need to move to pattern two, which is the two-agent supervisor.
Two agents working together.
Yes. And this is actually the pattern recommended by Anthropic for high-stakes environments. You have a primary agent that executes the task and a secondary agent whose entire job is to sit in the verification loop and review every step the primary agent takes.
Oh, interesting.
The supervisor agent can override the primary, request a revision if the logic is flawed, or approve it to move forward.
You know, that sounds incredibly similar to how human software teams work. You have a junior developer writing the code and a senior developer doing a strict code review before anything gets pushed to production.
That is a perfect parallel. The primary agent is the junior, the supervisor is the senior, and the harness dictates how they communicate.
I love that. And the third pattern?
Pattern three is the multi-agent system with a shared harness layer. This is where you deploy multiple highly specialized agents, perhaps one for researching data, one for writing code, one for formatting the output, and they all coordinate through a shared infrastructure.
That sounds like a lot to manage.
It is. That shared harness manages the overall context, regulates which agent has tool access, enforces the verification loops between their handoffs, tracks the total token cost across all of them, and maintains that digital paper trail of observability.
Setting up a multi-agent shared harness sounds incredibly complex. Is that actually practical for a normal team, or is it just theoretical architecture for tech giants?
It is complex, but it is highly practical when the stakes require it. The data shows clear, real-world proof that this architecture works.
Like who?
For example, the framework LangChain implemented better harness infrastructure and saw their task completion rate jump from 52.8% to 66.5%. And they did that with absolutely no change to the underlying model.
Just better infrastructure.
Exactly. Or look at Stripe. Stripe uses agent harnesses to successfully merge over 1,000 pull requests every single week.
And a pull request, for our listeners, is simply a proposed code change that needs reviewing before it becomes permanent.
Right. Merging a bad pull request can take down an entire payment system. It's high stakes.
Very high stakes.
The only way Stripe can trust AI to handle 1,000 of those a week is through a rigorous multi-agent shared harness that verifies every single line of logic. Improving the harness consistently delivers far larger gains than waiting around to upgrade to the newest AI model.
So if I'm looking at my own tech stack right now and realizing my AI integration is essentially running naked, where do I actually begin? How do I translate these massive architecture patterns into a practical starting point?
The very first thing you have to do is stop guessing and start measuring. You need to audit your current failure modes.
Step one, the audit.
Yes. Take 50 to 100 representative tasks that your agent handles, run them, and meticulously document exactly where and why the system breaks. You cannot fix an infrastructure problem until you have a clear map of the specific network timeouts, formatting errors, or context hallucinations that are plaguing your system.
Makes total sense. Once you have that audit, what is the next immediate fix?
You target the highest return on investment, which means adding verification loops. That's step two.
The 50 millisecond check.
Exactly. You look at your audit, find the most critical steps in your agent's process, and add a quick check to verify the output format or logic before the agent moves on. That single change will catch the majority of your cascading errors.
And I imagine step three is where observability comes in, so you aren't flying blind anymore.
You got it. The third step is instrumenting observability. You implement those structured execution traces, so you have a digital paper trail of every API call, every token generated, and every tool used.
Okay, so we're audited, verified, and observable.
Once you can see the system working, you move to the fourth step, which is protecting your budget and setting up your tripwires. You set your cost envelopes.
How do you know what to set the budget at?
A reliable rule of thumb is to calculate the median token cost of a successful task and set your budget ceiling at 3 times that amount.
3 times the median.
Right. If a task costs 3 times more than normal, it is failing, and the harness needs to cut it off.
And to make sure you don't break all of this hard work tomorrow, the final step would be building the evaluation pipeline.
Step 5, exactly.
You create a test suite of 20 to 50 representative tasks that run automatically, ensuring that any future tweaks to the harness don't accidentally degrade the system's performance.
That's the 5-step roadmap.
It's a very clear, logical progression. But I do have to ask about the future-proofing aspect of this. AI models are getting exponentially smarter every few months. Won't a lot of this harness engineering just become obsolete as the models learn to natively handle these issues?
The scope of the harness will definitely evolve, but the discipline itself will not disappear. The engineering consensus is that you should design your harnesses for deletion.
Design for deletion? What does that mean?
It means, as the underlying models natively learn to handle basic API timeouts or format their outputs perfectly without prompting, you can delete those specific low-level verification loops from your harness.
Because the model doesn't need the training wheels anymore.
Right. But the fundamental need for infrastructure, the need to constrain enterprise budgets, provide highly specific business context, and maintain a rigorous digital paper trail for compliance that will always remain. Even a super intelligent model needs blinders to keep it focused on your specific business goals and reins to dictate what external systems it is allowed to touch.
That makes a lot of sense. Let's recap the journey we've been on today.
Sounds good.
AI models are incredible. They are powerful, raw engines of intelligence. But an engine sitting on a factory floor cannot take you anywhere. Without the transmission to apply the power, the steering wheel to guide it, and the brakes to stop it, an engine is just a noisy, expensive liability.
A $2,400 overnight liability.
Exactly. That infrastructure is the harness. And whether you are trying to autonomously generate a million lines of code like Codex, or just trying to get a customer support bot to stop hallucinating your return policy, the harness is the 80% factor. You cannot prompt your way to reliability. You have to build the infrastructure.
And before we wrap up, I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over.
Please do.
We have spent this entire deep dive analyzing how even the most brilliant, high-speed information processing AI models will completely spiral out of control without strict cost envelopes to limit their energy drain. Without verification loops to double-check their logic, and without carefully constrained context to keep them from getting distracted. If you connect that back to human workflows, it holds up a rather fascinating mirror.
Are you suggesting we need to apply harness engineering to ourselves?
Think about human burnout or a project that goes completely off the rails.
Yeah.
Are our own human failures getting distracted by too much information, spending hours on a low-value task without a strict cost envelope for our time, or failing to verify our work before sending it off? Often just a lack of a good operational harness in our own lives.
That's a great point.
We are basically naked agents running without verification loops most of the day. Maybe the secret to productivity isn't increasing our brain's horsepower, but finally engineering a better harness for our attention.
Something for all of us to think about as we design our workflows and our tech stacks this week. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. As you go back to your projects, try looking at the systems around you, whether they are artificial or human, through the lens of that 80% factor. We'll see you next time.